Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey friends, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. It is Friday, January the 11th, 2019. And one of the stories from this week that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about earlier that I don't want us to miss is something that happened in the state of Tennessee, or it's actually in the process of happening. We fully accomplished on August the 7th, so I realize that you're thinking to yourself, there's a lot of lead time between now and August the 7th, but not if you were expecting to continue to be incarcerated for many, many more years, and you learned that on August the 7th you will be released. So this is the story of Centoya Brown. And Centoya Brown has been granted full clemency by Governor Bill Haslam of Tennessee and is set to be released from prison on August the 7th. So what I would like to do is actually begin with the timeline related to this, and then I want to talk about second chances, and I want to talk about what led to this, and I want to use that as sort of the stepping off point into my conversation with Kevin Malone. And so Kevin's going to join us in a few minutes, and he and I are going to be talking about human trafficking here in the United States of America, particularly human trafficking related to children who are being sex trafficked. And so as I say that, those of you who maybe have younger listeners, please recognize that by the time we get to the Kevin Malone conversation, that might be a portion of the conversation that you want to put your headphones on, or you might want to listen to via the podcast, which will be posted at myfaithradio.com on the Connecting Faith page in about an hour after the show. So you don't have to wait long to hear the podcast. But if you are listening live and you've got little ears, the Kevin Malone conversation, let me just put it this way. He does not parse words, and he does not try to make things sound better than they are. And so I want folks to just know that in advance. So Centoya Brown was trafficked as a very young person, very, very young person. And so she was legally regarded as a prostitute. However, you and I both recognize that children who are sex trafficked, those aren't decisions that they're making for themselves. They are absolutely under the control and domination of their John, of their pimp, of sometimes their parents. I mean, it's horrific. And so that is Centoya Brown's story. That's the background of the conversation that we're about to have about what she did when she was 16. And that was now 15 years ago, by the way. And that leads us to the conversation about her future, who she has become while incarcerated, and the future now set before her, which I would regard as a future definitely filled with hope. So in August of 2004, a Nashville real estate agent named Johnny Allen picked up a 16-year-old prostitute at a Sonic. Her name is Centoya Brown. Now, she is a trafficked teenager at that point in time. He takes her to his home where events transpire that you would expect in this kind of story. And the following morning, Johnny Allen was found without clothing and a gunshot wound to the back of his head in his home. Centoya Brown did not flee the scene. She told police where he had picked her up. She told them what had happened. She told them she had been paid, and that she had shot him because she thought, she was feared for her life. She thought he was reaching for a gun under the bed. 2 years later, a jury convicted her of first-degree murder and robbery, and she was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole, but not until she was 67 years old. Again, she was 16 at the time. At that point in time, the law dictated that she serve at least 51 years before becoming eligible for release. And they pushed for more time because prostitution leads to what's considered an aggravated robbery charge. So you are, imagine just for a moment that, first of all, you have been sex trafficked as a child, and therefore you end up as a 16-year-old prostitute, and you fear for your life, and you do what she did in her own defense, in her own, out of fear. And now the criminal justice system comes with the full force and weight upon you. And again, yes, a life was taken. Absolutely. And I understand that. And I understand the need for justice. But I'm not sure that this is that. I mean, I think that the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is justice in these kinds of circumstances, in these particular cases? And so that is the conversation. If you fast forward to today, and the State Board of Parole, back in May, giving to Governor Bill Haslam of Tennessee a split recommendation on Brown's application for clemency. Two members voted to recommend that the governor grant clemency, allowing her to be released from prison, but two others voted to recommend that her clemency bid be denied and that she continue to serve out her life sentence. So in July, Haslam received a copy of the parole board's report, which is thousands of pages long. Now, why is that? Well, she's been incarcerated for a really long time, and during that time, she got her high school degree. She has a four-year college degree from Lipscomb University, which has a program active in the Tennessee prison system for any inmate that wants to get their college degree. She has become a Christian. She has a very active relationship with a church that has an extended presence in the prison system as well. And she already has job offers. I mean, she's, you know, one of the requirements of parole is that you know where you're going to live and you have the ability to support yourself. And, you know, let's just acknowledge this is a person without a family and a person without any sort of experience of adult life outside of prison. And so she is going to need an entire network of people to support her in this transition back into, well, I don't know, it's not even back into life. It's into life. So I want to lift up her story because she has been granted clemency. She has lived behind bars since she was 16 years old. She's now 31. And she got what's called a full commutation. And some of the words of the governor, I think, are important for us to recognize. The governor said, acknowledged that Santoya Brown committed by her own admission a horrific crime, but that was at the age of 16. And he said in his statement, imposing a life sentence on a juvenile that would require her to serve at least 51 years before even being eligible for parole consideration is simply too harsh, especially in the light of the extraordinary steps Ms. Brown has taken to rebuild her life while in prison. He went on to say, transformation should be accompanied by hope. I want you to think about that for a moment. Transformation, which she is a transformed person. She is living a transformed life. Should be accompanied by hope. Well, that hope should be substantial. And in this case, Governor Haslam has done something that makes substantial, makes real this transformation that this young woman has experienced. She's going to be required to, as I said, get a job and have a stable place to live. And folks have come alongside to say they're going to make that happen. And I love her statement in response, thanking the governor. She says, for your act of mercy and giving me a second chance, I will do everything I can to justify your faith in me. With God's help, I am committed to live the rest of my life helping others, especially young people. My hope is to help other young girls avoid ending up where I have been. Sadly, Santoya will have all kinds of opportunity in the city of Nashville and across the United States of America, where some 100,000 children are sex trafficked in this country right now. So that's the conversation that we are going to turn to with Kevin Malone. Again, joining me next is Kevin Malone. I feel like this portion of the program probably needs to come with a rating for more mature audiences, so keep that in mind as you're listening. This is Connecting Faith, and I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. We'll be right back. Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Joining me today is Kevin Malone, the former general manager of Major League Baseball's Montreal Expos and Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, some of our Twin City listeners are going to remember his 1988 to 1991 time period when Kevin was the East Coast scouting director for the Minnesota Twins. But he's not here today to talk about baseball. Kevin Malone has a passion to bring an end to human trafficking here in the United States. You can find out more at usiaht.org. That stands for U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Again, that's usiaht.org. Kevin, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Carmen, thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to start with the why. You could be doing a lot of things at this stage of life with the freedom that you have. So why are you doing this?
Well, Carmen, I believe God has called me to do this. I'm just trying to be obedient to the desire and will of God to protect our children from this scourge of human trafficking, child sex slavery that's happening all across the world, but especially in America. Too many people are unaware that it's happening in our own backyards in the United States, and God is calling me to fight for our children. And I believe the Bible tells us to be a voice for the voiceless. So we need to be a voice for the tens of hundreds of thousands of American kids that are being raped daily for profit all across our country. So that's why I do what I do.
Now, those are horrifying words. And I think that there are probably people listening who are trying to get their mind around what you just said. And so let's put a name on the issue. Tell us the story. My guess is that there's one story that drives you personally. Tell us that story.
Okay. Well, I think as you just mentioned, Carmen, truth is shocking. I think we're living in a society, a world now where truth doesn't really matter, but we know it matters to God. And the truth of the fact is that our kids are being preyed upon. They're being lured and abducted into this child sex trafficking, child sex slavery. So one particular story that greatly impacted my life and got me really passionate about this fight was a lady by the name of Mary, who was out of the Ohio area, and at the age of 4, her father began selling her in the bottom of a church. Men would show up and throw in a coin or a kind of a money type of token into a little wooden box, and they would have their time with his daughter in the bottom of a church. And this went on from the age of 4 till she graduated high school, and she was able to get away from her father, who was selling her for sex. That's just one story. I've spent some time with this young lady. She's in her 30s now. She's doing well by the grace of God. She's come to know the Lord. He is the Almighty Healer, Jehovah Rapha. But she's still, every time I hear her testimony, Carmen, it just breaks my heart in one way. And then on the other hand, it makes me want to fight and really go after these predators, guys like her father and like other men that are paying to rape our kids. So that just kind of broke my heart, and that kind of motivates me every day to do what I do.
Well, I appreciate that it's a story of redemption, because many of these stories, it's so deeply tragic. And lots of these young people don't ever have the opportunity to escape these environments that we're talking about and these experiences. So why don't we do this? And again, friends, my conversation partner today is Kevin Malone. For more information about what we're talking about today, we invite you to visit the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, and that's at usiaht.org. Kevin, why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about the problem and some of the statistics?
Well, you know, what you just mentioned, Carmen, is a good point. We know that statistically a lot of young girls in particular that either are dead after 7 years of getting connected into this evil that we're talking about, child sex slavery. They either commit suicide, they overdose, they're killed by a pimp or a John. So the numbers are also oftentimes skewed, and the numbers are debatable, of course. But what we believe, the numbers that we believe are accurate, is worldwide there are 21 million victims of human trafficking, 55 to 60% of women and girls, and 26% are just children. Human trafficking is a $150 billion industry worldwide. Human trafficking, the definition, Carmen, it is modern-day slavery. It involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. We're finding that kids get involved in this. Girls usually is 13 and 14 is the average age of entry for young girls in America to get caught up into this. For boys, it's a couple years younger. It's actually 11 and 12. We believe that there's 100,000 American kids, U.S. American kids, that are being sold every day across America. And the numbers are that 15 to 20% of those 100,000 are little boys. We never hear much about boys being sold. Another fact that's interesting is 60 to 70% of all American children that are being sold for sex daily are out of foster care. They're either recruited or lured out of foster care. So we have a real problem with our child social services, our foster care system. An estimated 1 in 6 runaway youth are likely to become sex trafficking victims. You know, we know that, I mean, the numbers are staggering. 85% of the kids that are involved in sex trafficking were abused as children sexually. I mean, I could go on and on with the numbers, but the numbers are out there. And the interesting thing is, Carmen, I think people should know that these are numbers that are factual. But when we've got to put names and faces with these young victims, with these kids, because that makes it more personal. And that really is a call. I believe God is calling each of us to do what we can to protect our kids and to fight against these predators.
Absolutely. Again, friends, my conversation partner is Kevin Malone. You might recognize his name as the former general manager of Major League Baseball's Los Angeles Dodgers. But he's a man on a mission for God, responding to God's calling in his life to bring an end to human trafficking here in the United States. You can find out more at usiaht.org. That stands for the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, usiaht.org. Kevin, I'm giving the website address more times during this conversation than I ordinarily do because, first of all, I think that the website is such a rich source, not only of information, but news headlines. When you click on, just to let folks know, when you click on the news tab, you can actually click in your own state. You can find out, you know, like what's going on in my state in relationship to these issues and concerns. But it's a wonderful aggregation of news from across the country related to human trafficking. And then there are places where you can click to find out not only about the problem, but about ending the demand and then providing a safe home, the role that gangs play in all of this, and then how you can take action. So let's, Kevin, let's do this. Let's actually just kind of talk across those tabs. You use the word sold or you know, that children are sold in these ways. That means that there are buyers, and buyers means that there is a demand. There's a market demand for this. Talk with us about ending demand.
Well, that's I think the key to all this. We can talk, Carmen, about the rescues of these kids. We can talk about restoration, and that's great. That's what God's calling us to do. But I believe on the front end of the problem is we've got to reach society. We've got to reach men, primarily men across this country, that it's not okay to pay to rape a child. I mean, the numbers are staggering, and most people, it's so evil, so perverse, and so horrific, most people don't want to hear about it, and I understand that. But the bottom line is it's happening. These are our modern-day orphans. The Bible is pretty clear that we're to seek justice and to rescue the orphans, and I believe that God's calling us to do this. But the demand is a huge problem, so what we're doing is a lot in technology, Carmen. We're working in different areas of technology on how to try to get men to stop. There's different ways we're going about doing this. We've got some different type of technology methods that we're implementing, and it's working. But it's just the problem is growing at such an alarming rate. So I think that some of the things that you guys would be interested in knowing about your listeners is that we did launch in January of this year a pilot program. It's called the Reach Out Campaign. It's down in Pasco County, Florida. We did this in partnership with Seattle Against Slavery, and we used web scraping technology to obtain the phone numbers off of these various sites where people are being sold for sex all across the Tampa Bay area. And through our work, we have found that most of these numbers on these sites directly link to the cell phones of individuals who are being sold for sex, and they're using them to communicate with those people that are paying or booking to have these dates or whatever you want to call with them. So in the Tampa Bay area alone, we've identified over 10,000 phone numbers, and we began mass texting blocks of these numbers with a phone number and a website offering help to get out of this industry. So we've got a 10% response rate in the first few weeks of doing this. And it's just an opportunity of reaching out to those that are involved in this to, if they want a chance to get out, to get out. But we also do some kind of sting type of work with the technology, working with different law enforcement, different sheriff agencies around the country to go on these websites, and then we can scrape and get phone numbers of men that are paying to buy sex, and then we turn it over to law enforcement. So we're working hand-in-hand with law enforcement, with the judicial system, and we're trying to just send a message to men, one, to stop, and two, that we will provide help if men are out there that are addicted to pornography or addicted to paying to have sex. We will provide solutions and opportunities and ways for them to get out.
Friends, I'm going to continue my conversation with Kevin Malone. Also, stick with us through the break. You are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, and we'll be right back. Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. We've got a heavy subject today that we're talking about. We're talking about bringing an end to human trafficking, and that means we've got to talk about the realities of human trafficking here in the United States. We're talking about the sex trafficking of our children, and joining us for that conversation is Kevin Malone. Kevin's, I'm going to describe it as a ministry. It might be described in other ways by other folks, but this is what's happening at the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. You can check it out at usiaht.org. Again, the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Kevin, again, thank you for joining us on Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Carmen. It's a pleasure to be on. I appreciate people listening to this, and I know it's a very ugly and nasty subject, but it is happening to our kids and our grandkids, and we just need to have the information and be educated so that we can protect our children and other people's children. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. So thank you for having me on your show.
And these are not easy things to talk about, Kevin. I'm wondering, When you started to move in this direction, you know, God, this sense of God calling you to do something, and you're now pressing the full force of your life into this, and I think that there are probably folks who would love to hear that story. Like, how does that movement take place in the life of an individual disciple, where you get off the sidelines of this particular issue, and you not only get in the game, but man, you really sort of, you start to take over and manage for success. I mean, that's really what I would view as happening here. Like, you see something that's going on, and you are applying the gifts, talents, abilities that God has given you to solving this problem, in order that people can be liberated. Not only children can be liberated, but these men can be liberated from this horrible sin as well. Talk with us about that transition or process or transformation that took place in your life.
Okay. Before I jump into that, Carmen, I think when I read Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby's book a long time ago, that God's out doing a lot of amazing things, and it's just up to us to see and then respond, be obedient. And I believe all your listeners are gifted and skilled in different ways that they can make a difference. Maybe it's not human trafficking. Maybe it's some other area. But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So my encouragement would be just take that first step. But for me, I started hearing about this in 2008, 2009, and I went with my pastor, Francis Chan. We went to Thailand with Zoe International, who's a anti-human trafficking organization ministry, and Children's Hunger Fund. And we were up in northern Thailand in Chiang Mai, and Francis and I, we were rooming together, and God had really laid it on our hearts to do what we could for kids. And then seeing firsthand in Zoe's large safe home, they had 60 to 80 kids, Thai kids, that had either been rescued somehow, some way, that had been formerly sex slaves in Thailand as young as 4 and 5 years old. And Carmen, you know as well as I that when you pray to God, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours, God showed me that this is what breaks God's heart, is children being sexually exploited, being raped, being abused by adults in Thailand. So I came back from Thailand. This was 2009. Francis was doing his thing around the country and speaking, and then God took me in a different direction to get more involved. And so I really started vetting the problem in America and seeing how big a problem is it here. We know it's a problem in Thailand, India, Philippines, and all over the world, but what about America? But it was kind of covert. It was kind of under the radar, and not many people were talking about it or doing much about it, although the problem was huge at the time. And so I really started vetting it out and finding out that there was a big problem in America, and it's grown now. That was 2009. It's now 2019. It's been 10 years. And the problem we have now, we have organized crime involved in this. We have gangs that are selling kids. We have a lot of different avenues of and people that are using our children to make money. So God just showed me that this is something. I like a good fight. I've been known to like to fight and to take on big challenges, God-type challenges. You know, God's a big God, and he gave me, you know, when he calls you to do something, he equips you to do it, and he provides for you to figure out how to do it. So I've been blessed by the Lord. He's given me this passion to fight. He's given me compassion for kid victims, children that have been sold. And I'm just trying to be obedient. I kind of take the Bible at face value. If it says to do something, I think that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. So I'm just trying to be obedient, and God has blessed my ministry in fighting human trafficking. We started the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking almost 3 years ago, and my partner, Jeff Rogers, he comes out of the IBM, out of the business world. He's been a great kind of co-founder with me on this, and we're doing a lot of things in the fight, Carmen. We're doing awareness, basically trying to tell people this is going on. We're trying to prevent this from happening. We're involved with the rescue team. We can go and rescue children. We're involved in trying to to educate and inform our politicians. We're in Capitol Hill once a quarter trying to make sure our congressmen, our senators, and all in the political world know about this problem and to do what they can do to change it, to stop it, to prevent it. And then we do the restoration. Just to let your listeners know, we opened over a year ago, year and a half ago, Carmen, the first boys safe home for trafficked boys. So there's none in America that we're aware of. I think in North Carolina, some friends of ours opened up one recently. But when we opened up, there was no safe homes for little boys 10 to 17 that had been sold as sex slaves. So we opened that, and we're providing restoration and all the wraparound services for little boys that are coming out of sex trafficking.
Kevin, I think that what breaks God's heart certainly ought to break our hearts, but this is one of those issues that it's so prevalent, and we have grown so good at not seeing it. So can can you maybe help take off some of our suburban or rural blinders? What are the signs that I am engaging with, what are the signs that a person that I am seeing, or maybe I'm not seeing? Like, what can I do tangibly in my day-to-day life to affect this issue?
That's a great question. I would, as you've been doing so well, I would direct people to our website, because we have ways to get involved, things that can help you to identify what is human trafficking, who's being trafficked, and that's a great question. And I think, you know, Colin, for slaveholders, pimps, and oppressors, traffickers, they know that their power and their success depends on most people in their communities, their towns, or cities doing nothing to help these traffic victims. And you know this quote probably, I'm sure. Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing. Mm-hmm. So I think once people need, they can educate themselves. What I would suggest is finding out in your local town, your city, your communities, is there anyone doing anything in the fight against this? Is it a church? Is it an NGO? Maybe contact law enforcement and find out what kind of help can you provide them, because law enforcement can't arrest their way out of this problem. It's much bigger than law enforcement. So find out what's going on, and then, I mean, that's one of the things. Go to our website. Find out how you can get involved. The one thing I would say to anybody that's a follower of Jesus, pray. Pray diligently, fast, because this is a satanic stronghold. This is evil. This is perverse. This is of the devil. There's no other way to say it, that for men, primarily men around the country that want to pay to rape our kids, it's dark. It's evil. It's perverted. It's of the devil. There's no other way to explain it. So we need a lot of prayer. We need volunteers, people to get involved and do different things that maybe are needed in a community. Maybe it's awareness. Maybe it's making sure your schools, that your kids, your grandkids are attending, are aware that this is going on. Make sure they have some sort of education or curriculum teaching them about this, making sure the parents know about it. Sticking your head in the sand is not going to make it go away. Then they can donate. People can donate. There's some people that time is limited, restricted. Donate to the various ministries or NGOs that are doing the best work, not just making people aware, but that are actually getting tangible results, that have metrics, and they have ways to evaluate their success, and they're actually getting stuff done. Call your local politicians. Call your assemblymen, your congressmen, your senators. Let them know that you're against this, that you want them to do everything they can to stop this from happening, you know, in your communities. I think those are a few of the things. The website would have more information, but prayer is so important, Carmen. And I have seen the power of prayer. I believe God answers prayer. I've seen miracles happen. So I just want people to pray that God will break these strongholds of men that are doing this, and then free these kids and protect our children from getting caught up into this evil, this scourge that's happening all across our country.
Kevin, I think that we should end our time together doing just that. I think that we should pray, and we're going to pray in all of the ways that you just encouraged us. but I'm wondering if you would allow us to pray for you.
Please, yes. I would love that. I covet your prayers, not only now, but every day if God brings the Institute to mind or me personally to mind. Pray for my family because the devil will attack my family to try to distract me and get me off the path. So to protect my path, to protect me and the Institute, I would covet your prayers daily. Anyone that wants to pray, add us to your prayer list. We would appreciate that.
Well, let's do that right now. Father God, we thank you for our brother Kevin. We thank you for the way that you used the Blackabees and experiencing God to stir up his heart years ago. We thank you for the ways in which you've used his pastor, Francis Chan. We thank you for the myriad of ways in which, over the course of his life, you have prepared him to be on the front line of this most difficult ministry. And Father, we thank you for Kevin's passion. We thank you for the Institute Against Human Trafficking. And we ask, Father, your continued anointing upon Kevin, actually a hedge of protection around him and his family and this ministry, his ministry partner, Jeff Rogers. We ask that you would illuminate every step in the path and that you would continue, Father, to advance what they're doing to bring an end to human trafficking here in the United States. We do pray with Kevin in one accord with him in all of the ways that he pleads to you each and every day on behalf of the little children of this country. Father, equip and empower the people of your church to be strong and steadfast and actually intervene to get off of the sidelines of what we now know is a scourge in our country, and to get out there and to fight the enemy and to take back this terrain on behalf of Jesus Christ. All of these things we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Carmen. I appreciate
Absolutely.
The powerful prayer, and thank you. God bless you and your show and all your listeners, and 2019 is going to be the year we break a lot of strongholds and take back the territory that only God has for his children. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, friends, you've been listening to my conversation with Kevin Malone. Please visit the website usiaht.org. That's for the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. You are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. I'll be right back. Hey, friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I am your host, Carmen LaBurge. I recognize that was a really heavy conversation that we just had with Kevin Malone. So I recognize maybe the need to slow down a little bit here in this connecting point and talk really deliberately about what we can do. We have talked actually on several occasions here on Connecting Faith about this subject, about sex trafficking, about children who are sex trafficked. We've talked to survivors of child sex slavery, and we've talked to people like Kevin, who are fully engaged in efforts to bring an end to this. I didn't even have a word for it. He used the word scourge, so I'll use that word as well. I can just think back, just over the course of the last year, I know we've had conversations with Linda Gibson. If you have not heard Linda Gibson's personal testimony, I'd encourage you to go to myfaithradio.com to the podcast. You click on the podcast for the Connecting Faith program, and you can find Linda Gibson, Breaking Silence About Child Sexual Abuse is the book that she wrote, the ministry in which she is engaged, and it's her own story. It's hard to listen to, but it's important. It's important to listen to the testimony of not only survivors, but those who have been redeemed and those who are offering genuine redemptive healing, processes through which those who have been sex trafficked can actually live full redeemed lives, lives of joy and purpose and fulfillment. And so Linda Gibson is a podcast that I would highly recommend as a complement to the conversation that we just had with Kevin Malone. And then I also recall that we had a conversation with Raleigh Sadler. Raleigh started an organization, see if I can call it to mind, Let My People Go. He started an organization called Let My People Go, and it really is designed to equip and network together churches who are engaged in anti-trafficking efforts all across the country and I suspect around the world. However, the emphasis and focus of today's conversation is human trafficking here in the United States. So Raleigh Sadler, we talked with him about human trafficking, you know, education and mobilization, and how Christians can specifically engage on this, get informed. I remember Raleigh suggesting to each of us that one of the things that we could do is simply set up a Google, maybe it's called an alert. I don't know. It's where Google like aggregates information over the course of a day or whatever, and then it sends you a list of links related to that topic or subject matter area. And he suggested that, hey, you just put the name of your city and the word trafficking in one of those and have Google send you, you know, periodically news and information related to the subject in your own community. And some of that will be horrific stories, and other times that will be good news information about who's engaged on this subject matter, who's really trying to make a difference, and that would help you identify those organizations and those churches and those other individuals with whom you might cooperate, co-labor, support efforts to end human trafficking in your own community. So you could find, again, my conversation with Raleigh Sadler earlier, sometime last year, at myfaithradio.com. Again, it would be in the program podcast. And if you just type Raleigh Sadler's name into the search there at My Faith Radio, this is what will come up. His website is LMPG, that stands for Let My People Go, lmpgnetwork.org. And then I also recall having a conversation with my dear friend Lila Rizgala Waba. And Lila is an Egyptian Christian. She now lives here in the United States. If you Google her, your jaw will drop because she had a really extraordinary life prior to moving here to the States in support of her husband's ministry. Lila was a pediatrician. I mean, she's, I guess, technically still is a pediatrician. And in the course of her practice, she became more and more horrified and convicted over time of what was happening to these little girls and the things that people were doing to them and the ways in which they were being used and abused. And Lila began a ministry that now spans millions of girls across the Middle East. It's really quite extraordinary. And so we had Lila on to talk about her book, which is like something like me after Me Too, but there's a hashtag in there. So it's like after hashtag Me Too. But if you just go again to myfaithradio.com and type in Lila, L-A-I-L-A, you know, the podcast will come up. You can also visit her directly at lilarizgala.com, Lila, L-A-I-L-A, Rizgala, R-I-S-G-A-L-L-A-H.com. One of the things that I really love and appreciate about Lila is that this is ministry in which she is engaged every single day. She just returned from this sort of trauma recovery ministry in Jordan. Like, she does this with refugees who have been sex trafficked during this ISIS upheaval in the Middle East. And Lila gives us really honest, practical ways of dealing with individuals who have been victimized when we encounter them in real life. And I think it's really essential for parents to listen to that particular conversation, because bad things happen to kids. And bad things happen to kids at the hands of and when our kids are with people that we trust and in places where we think our kids should be safe. And certainly anybody who is paying attention to the news cycle and paying attention to the ongoing revelations related to clergy sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. There are people all around us all the time who, as children, had horrific experiences. And you and I need to be equipped to respond to that reality. And Lila really provides very straightforward resources in how to do that. So I don't really have a better person to whom I can point in terms of very, very practical, deeply personal conversational equipping that we need. And that's really what she provides. So that would be my encouragement. So here's what I did. I actually went to myfaithradio.com and I typed the word trafficking into the search bar. I discovered that we have on the website more than 45 articles and podcasts, ranging from information to prevention to rescue to restoration to really practical conversational tools on this subject. That's pretty astounding, and that also suggests to me that this is a subject matter area that not only are we aware of, but that we have an interest in engaging. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we were able to say that we participated in bringing an end to human trafficking in our lifetime? And today, some little kid is being sex trafficked, and not just one, but 100,000 of them across the country. And at some point, you and I, we have to stand up against that, and we have to say no. We have to say no more, not one more, not again, not on my watch, not on my corner, not in my community, not in my church, not in my city, and eventually not in my country. We have to confront the demand seriously, and we have to be sure that we are prepared to genuinely help and bring to restoration those who are liberated from this kind of bondage and slavery. So if you know someone who needs help right now, or if you are someone who needs help right now, I want you to call the National Human Trafficking Hotline. That number is 888-373-7888. Again, that number is 888-3737-888. So you can see how that's easy to remember if you put the 888 at the front and the back and a 3737 in the middle, you'll have it. 888-3737-888 is the human trafficking hotline across the United States. I had this idea that was offered to me when I lived in a community where there was a professional golf, a PGA event. I did not know at the time that anywhere at any point in time across the country where there is some sort of national athletic event, that there is a spike in human trafficking in those communities during that period of time. I was horrified to learn this in the community that I lived in. And I had a friend say, well, here's what you can do. Like, tangibly, you can actually work to break the chain by actually getting word out of where people can find help, and that we're paying attention, and that this is a community that knows, that hates that this is going on, knows it's going on, and really does want to offer people help. And I said, well, what do you do? And she said, I write sticky notes with the hotline number on them, and I go and I put them in every bathroom stall that I can get in between here and, in this case, all the way to the interstate. And so in rest stops along the way, in truck stops, in every bathroom she could find, she went to the airport, and she went into all of the bathrooms that she could get to before you actually get to the place where you got to have a ticket to get in, and she put these sticky notes with the hotline number on it. I thought that was a great idea. All right, friends, I'm going to have to leave it right there. This has been Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Again, that hotline number is 888-3737-888. Have a great day, and God bless. This is Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Connecting Faith.